This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey, friends, welcome back. I missed you guys last week. Well, I actually did not miss being on my computer editing a bunch, but I'm glad to be back. I hope you had such a fun time ringing in the new year. We really did. It's also my birthday, so it's a really fun day. It's my favorite day because I'm that selfish. But we had so much fun. I hope you did too. So we are going to talk today. This is episode 69. We're going to talk to Karen Stott. She has got a story about her experience with church that I really needed you to hear. A lot of us don't have great experiences with church people. Some of us, because of that, don't go to church, and I get it. Some of us have a hard time. And Karen has a hard time. This story is ridiculous. It shouldn't even go into all of it. I've heard some other of her experiences that are like, knock your socks off, crazy. So anyhow, I really wanted to share her story with you, especially I love how the timing worked out. We recorded this ages ago, but I loved how the timing worked out because a lot of people think, oh, one of my New Year's resolutions, I'm going to start going to church or whatever. There's a lot of fear and trepidation when you kind of think about going to church if that's not something that you do. And so I wanted to share with you another person who managed to not throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, and just never go to church again after a really unhealthy experience with a church. So we're going to get started with that. But before we do, I wanted to talk to you about, I got some new products in. You guys really like the mugs. I can tell you that I have been going to the post office a lot shipping those off. So it's so fun. We got a new logo that I actually made myself. I just have to say I'm a little proud of that because I'm not a logo maker. So I made a logo, super love it. Put it on a green campfire mug. That's my favorite color. I love green. So there you go. Basically made myself a mug, and I want you to buy one if you like it too. I also got some tote bags that are super cute for library books and groceries and all the things you need to carry, and some sticky notes that say strategy to struggle well. So if you, like me, I literally write it down every week, something I take away from the episode, because I cannot remember what was my goal. How can I do a better job at this whole mom thing or this whole being a human being thing? I can't remember if I don't write it down. So I made post-it notes that just say strategy to struggle well on top, because I was using post-it notes every week to write it anyway. So then now I have to write a couple less words. So I'm really going to save myself entire minutes throughout the course of my life. So I want to save you entire minutes too. So go, if you are interested in supporting the show in that way and getting some cute things, go to momstrugglingwell.com and you can shop for any of those items. And my friend at Great Oak Circle, her name's Christine. She was on the episode, 30 something, I can't remember now, but she does website design. And so she helped me straighten out all the confusion because I'm not a website person, but I didn't know how to make like the shipping work and all that stuff. So she has sorted that all out. And I just wanted to give her a shout out because she is fantastic to work with. So if you're a small business person and you want help with your website, talk to Christine at Great Oak Circle. You can find her on Instagram at Great Oak Circle. Think of it like giant tree, great oak. I tend to mumble. At least my husband tells me I mumble all the time. So Great Oak Circle on Instagram, and connect with her if you need help because she's fantastic. So in this episode with Karen, we're going to cover, like I said, the church story. We're going to talk about, she lives with chronic pain. How does she manage that? We're going to talk about the difference between a calling and a hobby and how she kind of defines that, and how she's helped her children kind of walk out the things that they're gifted in. So it's a really, really great conversation, and I know you're going to love it. Let's jump right in. Hey, Karen, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hey, Emily, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. I'm so good. Will you tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started? I have so many things I want to talk about.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Well, I am a tomboy grown up in the woods with logger parents and
really?
Boys everywhere. Yes. And now God put me, you know, doing things for ministry for women. So I think it's a very funny situation.
That is, okay. So tell me about logger parents. What is that like? Does everyone wear plaid?
Yes. Oh,
really?
My gosh. Yes.
Okay.
All the time. So this whole Isaac and I were actually just talking about how this whole like hipster, like flannel, everything is like all of a sudden, because we live in Oregon.
Okay.
So everything is like coming full circle. Like, we're popular now. The things that we have been wearing for 200 years are now like mainstream.
Mm-hmm. So your family is a family of loggers.
Oh, yes.
So it's generational.
Generational loggers. My grandpa had his own mill. We lived on a couple hundred acres. Okay. And we would log trees.
Log.
And so the big thing is, once you cut them down, you have to replant them. That's like the
Logger creed.
The logger creed. Right. Exactly. I didn't know the word for that. So I spent my childhood like in the sopping wet forest planting hundreds of tiny little trees.
How long does it take them for them to grow up? I know
It depends on the tree, but I mean, there's trees that I planted when I was probably 10 or 11 that are a good 50, 60 feet tall now.
And when can you log them? How tall do they have to be? Or is it a width of the trunk?
You know, they can be any height or width.
The loggers don't discriminate.
They don't discriminate. You just have to, it depends on what you need the trees for or what you need the land for. So sometimes my dad would buy specific pieces of property just to log them. And then he'd sell them as like lots for real estate.
Okay. I'm out of intelligent questions because I don't know anything about
it. I don't know if there are intelligent questions that have to do with this.
Has a tree ever fallen on you?
Okay. Funny story. Okay. A tree has never fallen on me, but I have fallen with a tree. So
how?
I was the only girl within a 10-mile radius, and I had neighbors and two brothers.
Okay.
And so there was a swamp at the top of the hill that we lived, and they thought it was so funny to make me like climb up the tree there. And they're like little alder trees, you know, like maybe 8-10 inches around.
Okay.
And then they would chop them down and I would fall into the swamp with the tree.
That does not sound safe.
Oh, not safe.
Were there grown-ups around? I'm assuming no.
No. Okay. It was literally like you watch, you know, Swiss Family Robinson or Little House on the Prairie. And that was my childhood.
I'm so glad you survived it.
With more machetes.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so I'm sorry. Did you know they were about to cut the tree down?
Not the first time. No. But the ones after that I did. But I mean,
so that's on you.
It's on me. But it's the only way. It's like, you know, it's the whole bullying cycle of like, you want to be included. So you just are the scapegoat.
You climb the tree.
So I climb the tree.
My goodness. That's really something. Okay.
Yeah, but you've never had a guest do that before.
I promise you I haven't. Totally not. Okay, so how many kids do you have?
We have three kids. We have three. Our oldest is a girl, and she's almost 12. So that's a whole story. Okay. And then our boy is almost 10. Then we have a 2-year-old boy. So just kind of.
Okay. Big. Did you know the 2-year-old was coming?
We were actually filling out paperwork to adopt. And so we were literally like trying to figure out if we wanted to adopt one child or a sibling set. Mm-hmm. And we were flying on a vacation to Hawaii, and we just said, okay, we'll pray about this while we're gone, and we will fill it out and send it when we get back. And the second day I was there, first day I was there, I took a pregnancy test.
Oh my goodness. Save yourself a lot of paperwork.
Save myself a lot of paperwork, but I really wanted to adopt. This is like a 17-year passion of mine. So
interesting. Isn't it funny how God, like, my kids are adopted and I never wanted to adopt.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting how God weaves stories.
He's funny. He's a funny guy.
He's that. Hmm. We say that often.
Yeah.
He sure has a sense of humor.
He does.
Yeah.
I wish he'd have less of a sense of humor with my life sometimes. Just cool it with the jokes.
Oh my gosh. My kids now have this joke of, they say, Mom, I never want to do this, because they make fun of me because there's so many times I've said, I will never do this. And God ultimately leads me to that scenario. And so now they're like, Mom, we never want to live in Hawaii, and we never want to own a private jet.
You got to try it. You never know.
I know. I'm like, that's kind of manipulation, but.
But hey. Okay. So speaking of manipulation, I appreciate that segue. One of the first things that we talked about when we met was that your church history, or at least part of it, has not been great. I think a lot of my listeners either feel jaded with the church, the people in the church weren't nice or kind or honest or whatever. And so we, you know, think that that must be how God is, right? And so a lot of people leave because they don't want to be associated with those type of people, which is totally normal.
Yeah.
So you went through a lot of terrible things, but then you ultimately came back to love the church. So I want to hear about that journey.
Yeah, it was a crazy journey. Isaac and I grew up in the church. Both kind of had our, you know, bouts in high school and things like that. But ultimately, like, we both loved the Lord, wanted to serve him and walk with him. And we when we were first married, we went to the church that he grew up in. And it was very much like the elders ran the church and the same people that ran it, you know, his whole life. And they still looked at him like he was in eighth grade, so that we didn't have a much like a huge opportunity to serve there. Okay. So we started looking for another church and we found this amazing one and the worship was awesome. And what we were looking for at that point in time was just this family type community that would come around us and walk with us and we could do life with. And Isaac loves to serve and like it's his whole passion. And I do love that also, but it's not my, like, I'm not an acts of service love language person. So,
yeah, me either.
So it's kind of like, you know, I really love to, you know, love on God's people and be hospitable, but he's like really committed to the, you know, service thing.
Okay.
So we get to the church this first day. And I mean, one of the pastors comes up to us and like welcomes us in and like invites us out to lunch. And it was this whole like very overwhelming, whoa, we're wanted here. We're needed here. They like us. They appreciate us. And they elevated us really fast.
Which you weren't getting at the other church.
Right. Which we weren't getting at the other church. And they saw giftings in us and they allowed us to do things. And so, I mean, very shortly, and Isaac's a fireman by profession.
Okay.
So he only works like 9 or 10 days a month. So he has, he'll work 24-hour shifts and then he's, you know, home. So a lot of these, the other families and other, you know, married couples at church, they would work 9 to 5s. Okay. But Isaac was home. And so they very quickly kind of tapped into that and were like, we could use you and we could do this and this and this. And he ended up getting really involved in the ministry of like evangelism and counseling and discipleship and like that kind of thing. So it was a lot of counseling. And Isaac's very gifted in counseling and teaching. And we ended up working. He basically started working as a full-time pastor, but wasn't paid as a full-time pastor.
Okay. Did he have a problem with that? Or was he just happy to be using his gifts?
Oh, he was just happy to be using his gifts. I mean, there was times that it was like, wow, it'd be kind of nice to be appreciated, you
know? Maybe like a Starbucks gift card.
Right, exactly. But he loved it so much. You know, he loved pouring into people. And then over time, so we, you know, we had this really tight group of, there's probably 8 couples and, you know, about 16 to 20 of us. We all had kids at the same time. We were pregnant at the same time. Our kids loved each other. Like, it was a great, like, family feel.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah. And then over a few years, like when my business started picking up and we started having friends come in from out of town, they would come to church with us and they would be like, whoa, this is really off. Like there's something like really crazy. And we're just like, what? Yeah. And it was so strange because we were so deep into it that like we didn't see anything weird. And they're like, Karen, we feel like we just got like lit up and yelled at for like 2 hours straight. Cause he was a very animated pastor and a very, you know, but it was very just like, you're condemning or, you know, very condemning. You're going to hell. Like you have to do this, like, you know, all this kind of stuff. But we were so used to it that it just kind of I just didn't see it.
Okay.
And,
so what did you say back to these people who are like, what is going on here?
I literally was like, you're crazy. Like they're awesome. It's amazing. And they're like, I'm not so sure, you know, like they're like, maybe you should come out and like visit our church out, you know, and they lived in the South and they're like, and so we actually started like listening to some of the podcasts from their churches and things like that. And we started hearing things like God loves us and like hope and, you know, he wants to use our gifts and different things and how he's woven us certain ways, which the church we were in was very much like, you are going to do this and this is what you're going to do. And I don't care if you want to do it. I don't care if you're passionate about it. This is where the need is and this is what we're going to do. Or they were trying to like mold you up into different things. And it started getting a little bit weird when it was like, you have to take out your piercings and you have to go get tattoos removed and you can only wear these certain clothes. Like one time they made Isaac and I spend like almost $1,000 on specific wardrobe clothes because we were part of the altar call team.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was crazy. And we were like, we don't have this money. This is going on a credit card. And they're like, but this is what you need to do. Like,
oh, so they were fine with you getting in debt for.
Yes. Oh, totally. Yeah. Okay. And because we had to be in a certain image. And so we couldn't wear certain shoes. We couldn't wear certain shorts. We couldn't wear, like, it started getting like to the point where it was very just, well, this is odd. And they would border it on like, well, this is professionalism. And then they would say stuff like, we need to be, you know, they'd use scripture, like we need to be all things to all people. So if there's a businessman who comes in, like you can't have flip-flops on because that'll be like offensive to him. And so it's just very, just like all these weird things. And we had some really good friends before we started going to the church who actually went to the same church, but they drank beer and they weren't as involved as we were. And so we couldn't hang out with them anymore because they drank.
I remember you saying you had to not be friends with people.
Yeah.
Like they decided your friendships, kind of.
They decided our friendships. They actually mandated that I cut out communication with my father and Isaac's grandmother for until we left, like indefinitely. But once we left, we repaired those relationships. But my son
was
almost...
Which is not biblical that you would...
No. Oh, no, okay. But I was... my son was almost 6 before he met his grandpa.
Wow.
Okay. Or almost 7. Yeah.
Okay, so as you start going, this is kind of weird. What did that do with y'all's marriage? Were you on the same page all the time?
Isaac is pretty loyal to a fault. Like he's the light himself on fire to keep others warm person. I am too, to a pretty big degree, but he was very much didn't see it at first. Okay. And then the reason why there's such a big gap in our kids is because they told us not to have more kids.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, cause we were basically free full-time employment for them. Yeah. And, we were trying for a third baby when, our middle son was a year old, and we've been trying for a few months. And I had a phone call conversation with the pastor's wife. She was like, "I don't think that's a good idea. You guys need to stop trying. If you have another baby, it'll take you out of ministry."
Oh my God. I cannot believe that. Were you at the time like, that totally makes sense?
Kind of yes, kind of no. I mean, we had heard them tell this to other people in the group, so it didn't catch us completely off guard. But then there was other friends that were like, "That's just BS," you know. And they were like, "I'm not going to let our pastors determine our family," you know. And so that was the final straw of the this is actually kind of crazy. Okay. And, or really crazy, you know, but when you start off, it's such a slow fade. Yeah. We didn't realize it's those, you know, when the frogs are put in warm water and they turn it up, you know, and they don't realize that they're just getting boiled to death because it's such a slow turn up of the water. Right. Whereas if they would have jumped into the boiling water, they'd jump back out.
Yeah.
So we were in boiling water and we had no idea. We finally just started it just got so weird and creepy. And we were just like, "This just does not feel right. This does not feel right." And we felt kind of hazy and
really,
yeah, it was definitely in the witchcrafty realm. Like now that we look back on it.
Okay. But using the Bible. So they weren't in wizard hats and
No.
So it looked normal. Oh.
No.
In fact, everyone was very well dressed because they had spent all their money on clothes.
Exactly. Everyone was very well dressed. And everyone had, you know, no tattoos and no, the men had to cut their hair certain ways. And it was very just, you know, very tailored. Okay. But it was, it was very much using pieces of scripture to convince you that this is what God wants, but twisting it to the point that's so opposite of his character. And it was actually a Facebook. Someone shared something on Facebook one time that was how to know if you're in a spiritually abusive church or something like that.
Okay.
And it literally was top 10 steps, you know, and it was you can only, report to this one pastor. The pastor has no accountability. You have to, they start demanding certain things of your attire. Okay. They start isolating you and cutting you off from friendships, and they start pulling you away from family. They start wearing away your personal identity, forming you into what they want. And the ultimate ending for us was we really wanted the kids to go to a specific school. We had been praying about it for a while. We live in a super, super liberal area, mm-hmm. a very anti-Christian area. Mm-hmm. So the public schools here kind of have that same mm-hmm. tone. So we really wanted to send them to this one school, and our pastor called us 3 days before school started and was like, "You cannot send them there. I forbid you to send them there."
Whoa. He used that word, we're forbidding things.
Oh yeah. They basically without saying the exact forbid. Mm-hmm. Well, actually it wasn't the word forbid, but it was these are the words. "You would be rebelling against the will of God for your life if you did this."
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So they use that a lot. They use the rebelling against because they use perfect will and permissive will of God a lot. And if you do something against what they want, you're rebelling against the perfect will of God. And he would say specifically to my husband, "You can't hear the will of God, or you can't hear God's voice. Only I can hear God's voice for you."
Whoa. Okay. Heaven's sake. So how did you come to the, how did you get out of it? What happened?
So
I can only assume it did not go well.
It did not go well. We basically, like looking back on it, we basically kind of had to do this. We didn't know that this is what we were doing at the time, but this is definitely what we were doing, was kind of like an evasive, like tactical, like they, gosh, like we still won't respond to them. Like they don't know where, like where exactly we are.
You know, like you literally had, okay. Wow.
Yeah. Cause it took that time. I mean, now it's been 6 years and, you know, they could probably know where we lived or whatever, but, it was very much like they kept tabs on who was in the church and who showed up every week. And they would call you if you weren't there and they would, you know, all of that stuff.
I am like creeped out for you.
Yeah. And they would like knock on your door if you were gone too many times. So we basically used our move as the school as kind of like, this is how we're going to, we're just moving. We're moving to the school. And then we said that we would still keep involved. And so we would go like maybe every 3 to 4 weeks. And then we'd go every like 6 to 8 weeks. And then we'd go every 4 months, okay, you know, until it was kind of like, and then we just stopped just to kind of be removing ourselves from it. And all the while we were basically like starving, like spiritually starving people, yeah, where we obsessively listened to 6 to 12 podcasts a week from healthy churches and healthy pastors. And we'd, okay, like multiple times a week, we'd look at each other and be like, I have never heard this before. Or we'd look at each other and say, this is so contradictory to what we were, mm-hmm, taught.
How did you know which was which? I mean, like, were you guys confused? Did part of you want to never look back at the Bible or the church at all?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That was definitely, there was a hibernation season for sure where it was hard for us to, you know, walk in a church building or, mm-hmm, you know, open the Bible. Or actually, opening the Bible was not as hard because we weren't very encouraged to read the Bible for ourselves at the other one. Mm-hmm. It was all what people would say to us. Okay. So that wasn't a hard bridge to cross, but going into, okay, church was a really hard bridge to cross. And I think that after that kind of spiritual wearing down for so many years, we basically just had to like dive into the truth ourselves,
okay,
and be like, okay, does this line up with God, with God's character? Does this line up with the Bible? Because those are the questions we were not asking ourselves at the church. So we weren't, when they said, hey, don't have another kid because it will make you not be able, like it'll impact your ability to be in ministry, we didn't look at each other and say, does that line up with God's character? Hmm. Does that line up with the word of God? We basically were just fearful that they would get mad at us, yeah, and that we would be rebelling against God's will if we did something different. And so, okay, we didn't take the time to like dive into it ourselves. So, you know, over, yeah, the past 6 years, we've really dove into like who he is, what his character is like, what the Bible really says about him. And those have become like our gauges and our checkpoints of like, you know, truth and lies. And
yeah.
Yeah. So it's made it actually made, you know, when you grow up in the church, you just kind of believe what everyone says you should believe. And you, mm-hmm, does that make sense? You just, mm-hmm, think, oh, well, whatever they're preaching is must be true. And, you know, there's just so many things and even popular Christian phrases that make me crazy, you know, like,
okay,
like I will what? Only give you what you can handle. And I'm like, no, yeah, I call BS on that too, because, you know, he obviously gives you more, way more than we can handle on our own so that we do need him, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. I think it was a lot of turning that kind of stuff upside down and being like, the God that I was told my whole life, or even not my whole life, but just like pieces, like we really need to explore it for ourselves. Even if we were raised in the church, we need to seek after him and find out who he is and come face to face with him. Let him look in our eyes rather than,
yes,
following what the world says, you know?
Yes.
Or even pastors.
Or even what your pastor says. That's really good. I'm so thankful you got out of that. And I'm sure that you have a lot of opportunities to talk to other people about it. Does it, yeah, come up a lot, do you think?
It comes up a lot. Well, yeah, it seems that in Jen Hatmaker's book, For the Love, I think she talked about how church issues can go from like, oh, that sucks, to crushing your soul, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's sad because like, I never thought I'd be the girl with the bad church story. Mm. Like I'm not easily offended at all. I kind of just go with the flow. So for me to have such like this weird, like scar, you know, but another one, my friend says, you know, it's the scars that make you stronger. And you look back and it's the scars that like ultimately can heal other things, you know? Yeah. So you know, we just have, for a while we were quiet about it. And now it's like, you know, we're just going to open up. And if it helps somebody else, then it's worth talking about.
Yeah, that's so good. I wanted to also ask, you mentioned that you are struggle with some chronic pain. And I think that pain is a hard one. I'm sure you know that. I'm a nurse, but if you can, you know, if someone's arm falls off, you can go, okay, homegirl's arm fell off. She's got a reason to have a problem right now.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that with pain and with things that you can't see, it can be really hard for the person to keep positive. It can be hard for the family who can't see what is the issue that you keep talking about. Can you get over it already? Take an Advil. How do you manage that? And what's that been like? How long has it been?
It's been about 8 years. Okay. I mean, my whole life I've had, you know, back issues or different things, but it's been about 8 years, and they actually like link it back to childbirth.
It couldn't have been from coming on down into swamps from trees?
Probably not. I mean, there's probably a linkage somewhere. Maybe that's where my early back trauma came from.
You giving birth to children?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, from me giving birth to children. So I have really narrow hips, and both my boys were 9 pounds or bigger. So I guess, you know, it twisted something in my pelvis, and then that like went up my back and like all this stuff. And so, you know, and it destroyed all my muscles, and I basically have no like core strength or anything. So I rank my pain, like on the bad days, it's like debilitating, you know, but it's, you know, a 3 or 4, like most days. And people, I rarely talk about it. So it's actually funny that I even typed that when you asked the question. I really try to pretend that it's not there because I don't want people to treat me different. And I want to be super mom that does all the things, but when I can't like bend over to pick up my child or play tennis with my kid because like my wrist just like shoots in pain, or I write a thank you letter because my hands hurt. Like those are really weird things to be 35. And your doctor's like, you have all these arthritic problems or whatever. And I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah. So what do you do? I mean, I know my tendency is towards depression. Mm-hmm. Do you go there, or where do you go to kind of cope in a not healthy way?
Oh my gosh, I eat my feelings. I eat them. I eat all my feelings with all the bad stuff.
Yeah. Most of us don't eat our feelings with carrots.
Right. Exactly. That's true. That's a good point. Although potatoes in the form of like fried with salt and vinegar would be good.
Right.
I definitely veer into the depression realm for sure. And especially when we were going through the church stuff and just like recouping that. I mean, there's days that I was just like, I just don't want to be here. Yeah. But, you know, having kids gives you this, like, I have to function, you know, I have to get out of bed every day. And so they have actually been such a life source for me.
Okay.
Because I do have to make stuff work and make food and those kinds of things. But it's gotten a lot better since, like we've just had a lot of inner healing.
Okay.
So we've all gone to therapy. Like we've all gone to counseling. We honestly have that whole mindset of like, we can't be our best selves. Like if we just stay inside with our own perspectives of our own junk, we all go to see people and talk to people and pray with people. And, it's been so awesome. And so now I don't as much, it doesn't get me down as much anymore. It's not like a depressive thing. It's just like, this is my lot. And this is what God has like had me to walk through. And there's obviously like a reason that this is happening. And I'm just gonna be a good steward of this time. So for a while it was like really apathetic. And I really kind of fell into this, like you said, depression, like eating. This sucks. And I don't like being in pain. And I'm just going to sit here and deal and watch Gilmore Girls.
Hey, you know, I mean, come on.
Exactly. So, but now it's like, okay, I'm actually going to schedule an appointment and I'm actually going to go to the doctor, and then I'm actually going to go to more doctors, and I'm actually going to go to physical therapy and get a massage or go to a chiropractor or whatever. And so it has taken a lot of like just really little steps of, I can't just wait for this to happen. It's not going to miraculously be like, oh, I'm going to get better. Like there's hard work that I have to do, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to kind of get to the point of like, I'm going to get off my butt. And I'm going to do what's best for our family and for me, which is get healthy, because I don't want to have an 80-year-old body when I'm 35. I don't mind having an 80-year-old body if I'm like 70 or 80.
Yeah.
But not when I'm 35.
Yeah. It's got to be really hard to, I mean, we let go of control because sometimes it feels easier than trying, but being out of control is, it feels hopeless.
Yeah, definitely can.
You mentioned to me that you are passionate about helping women walk into their callings. And I have this question that I've just been mulling over and asking everybody. So since this is kind of on the same topic, how do you know, as a mom who, you know, we are a mom, it takes a lot of time, or, you know, we're not moms, whatever we do, it takes a lot of time. And a lot of the things we feel like are callings, those aren't necessarily the things that take up most of our day, right? How do you know the difference between a hobby and a calling? What would you classify as the difference?
So I feel like there's three things. I feel like there's who we are, and I feel like there's what we're here for. Okay. And then what we do. And who I am is a logger's daughter who grew up in the country, who loves, you know, who's an introvert and who loves room service and sitting by the beach and quiet time. And that's who I am. You know, that it's like what we, you know, beat for that. I have brown hair. You know, I'm Danish, all those types of things. And then it's like what we're here for. Like, I am literally here for to help people walk in their calling, to call out the greatness and the purpose within people, to help them get there and to make things beautiful. So like, that's like my calling. That takes on different forms. Okay. So then that's what we do, which would be like it could be like your assignment or your hobby or your job or whatever. So in those things, like scrapbooking could be a hobby or I just totally aged myself. Do people scrapbook anymore?
You know, I don't know. I used to, but now I don't. So, and I'm 36. Too. So we're
me same. Too. Okay. We're the same. Or like redoing furniture or, planning conferences or like Isaac's a fireman or cooking or baking or, you know, those are all things, you know, hiking. Those are all things that we can do. So I would say hobbies and professions are just expressions of our purpose and who we are.
Okay.
So I would say like my daughter is super gifted she's great in the kitchen. She is great with decorating. She's a beautiful artist, but she is also a really wise leader and she leads really well. And she can find like, oh, this person would be really good at this. And this person would be really good at this. And then she loves to make things beautiful too. So I would say that her calling and like helping her come up with some, you know, raise her up in the way that she should go would be giving her chances to act out on those leadership roles or, you know, serving roles or something. So taking a creative idea that she has and helping it come to life where she can actually like see it happen. And she has a chance to like run her own business or like do her own little thing. And then it takes on different forms. Like she's only 11, you know, so right now she has her little art stuff that she does in her Instagram account. She cooks for people and they do their little bake sales and then they helped us make these journals. So, you know, different things like that, that it takes on. And then later, you know, it's going to morph into something else. Did that answer your question or not really?
Yeah, no, I think that sometimes women are good at something. Maybe they're gifted at it. It's hard to know if you're gifted or you just kind of like doing it. And so we have a hard time, like a calling sounds so weighty. And so like I don't know, sounds like a big deal. And so it's easier to call it a hobby. And then I think it's easier to quit it if it's just a hobby. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, it totally does. And I think that we put so much emphasis on like, what's my calling? Where is my calling? How do I find my calling? When, if we look back on our lives and if we look, even if we just stop and like soak in today, I think we will realize that we're actually like walking more in our calling than we think.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. My whole life, I have always planned parties. I have always decorated things. I was on like student council, you know, I've always organized things and been a leader. So then when I was, you know, in MOPS, you know, then it takes on to that whole thing of like planning events and organizing things. And then I move on to leading alpha groups at our church and I make food for people and I make my home hospitable and I make it, you know, pretty and welcoming. And then God moves us into something else. And now we run conferences for women. Mm-hmm. And I have another opportunity in another venue to create beautiful things and create beautiful spaces that welcome in women and help them feel seen and known and heard. Mm. And it just kind of has morphed, you know, but I look over my whole life and it started when I was 10 or 11 or 12, when I just really loved hosting parties and making these like really elaborate things and, you know, making table settings for people and writing notes for people so that they all felt special, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it just kind of unfolds in different aspects. You know, our calling is to love others. And I think God weaves us differently to love people differently. And mine just happens to be through food and parties.
There you go. I love that idea that perhaps we're already walking in it. Huh. I like it. So you have a journal that you created called Adventures with Archer.
I do have
My daughter has one. I do have that. Yay! That is a thing. And I love it. And she loves it. And I wanted to ask you about where did that come from? Why did you start it? And all of those things.
Yes, that's part of this whole thing with like helping our kids, like grasping their unique ideas and their unique callings as if they were adults and saying, actually, there's some legitimacy to that idea. Like, let's see what happens.
Okay.
So what happened was, is I kind of am a serial entrepreneur. I like make a whole bunch of stuff and have my hands in a bunch of areas.
Yes.
And a few years ago, I created this journal called Intentional Home Daily. I have friends who have beautiful planners and they're gorgeous and I love them and I buy them and then I just stare at them because I love them. They're beautiful and I want to support their businesses, but my brain does not say I'm going to do this at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 a.m. ever.
Yes.
I can't process it.
Okay.
So I'm like, what would happen if I could just create something that my brain could wrap itself around? So I started I like made this thing on Photoshop. I used to be a photographer, so it was an easy fix. I was like, okay, I'm going to make this thing on Photoshop. And I basically like laid out the pages of like, there's five slots of like, what are my priorities today? And then there's like a brain, like a dump list somewhere else. So I pull things from that big list to these smaller lists. And there's like I'm praying for this today. I'm thankful for this today. Basically like helping me keep on track, but in a really like loosely organized form, because loose organization is the only way I can organize.
It's so good. You got to find your way.
Exactly. And so I started printing these. So then I was printing these pages every day and it just got really messy. And then I was like, oh, what if I could just make this journal and just like put them together?
Okay.
So then I made the journal. Well, the journal has pink peonies on it because peonies are my favorite.
Okay.
Ava, my oldest, loved it. And she thought this is the greatest thing ever. But my son, who was 7 at the time, he wanted to do this every day with me too. And he was like, I'm not going to use something with peonies on it. So then we just were like, well, what if we printed one out without peonies? So then we printed it out. And then I was like, well, what if we had some characters? And what if we did this and this and this? And so eventually I have a really talented friend who has done all of the lettering for Pursuit for the past like 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
I remember her telling me once, like her dream was to illustrate children's journals.
Okay.
Or not children's journals, just children's books. I just happened to morph it into journals.
Yeah. Hey.
And so I contacted her and I was like, hey, like we have this idea. What would you think about illustrating this journal? Mm-hmm. And so she came up with these illustrations that just make me like smile so big.
They're so cute. Who illustrated it?
Her name is Jordan Van Wert, and she's on Instagram, Jordan Marie Creative, I think.
Okay.
She's just fabulous, and she's done all of our art for Pursuit stuff, and now she's the creative director person of Archer. Okay. And they have just been on fire. Like, I made them for the first time I did it, I literally went to MagCloud and ordered one copy of each for the kids.
Okay.
And then my mom was like, I want you to make these for the cousins. So then it was like, okay. So then, you know, we've gone down this road before of manufacturing and getting things printed. So I'm like, oh, we'll just make a bunch of them. So then we had like 5 pallets of them delivered to my barn.
I love that.
So it's really fun.
Yeah, they're super cute. Yes, my daughter loves it. Okay, so I wanted to just ask you, what would you do to encourage a mom who maybe has had a bad church situation? Maybe she's dealing with pain, like just any of the things that you've dealt with, I think are things that can translate to other women. How would you encourage a mom who's struggling today?
Oh man, I would encourage them to not sit dormant anymore. The enemy loves to keep us like isolated and like spinning around in our own filth. Okay. And I feel like we just take the action step to get out, whether it's get outside on a walk, whether it's get involved with a Bible study, whether it is reaching out to a counselor or scheduling an appointment with a doctor, like to be proactive in our own healing, because man, if we just meditate, like we will become what we meditate on, you know, what we spend our time with. And if we just meditate on like, oh, woe is me, I'm in chronic pain all the time, I'm going to sit in bed all the time, or I had this bad church experience, I'm never going to go to church again, or I don't trust God now, which is, you know, a pretty big thing that we had to overcome too. Or my marriage is crumbling, or my child is having emotional issues, or whatever it might be. I mean, get help. I cannot shout it from the rooftops enough how instrumental it has been for our marriage. We've gone to marriage counseling. We have gone to prayer intensive. We have gone to, you know, our kids have gone to counseling just to figure out how to interact with each other, or how to love on each other better, or how to understand emotions. You know, some kids don't process that there's like, if don't process that there's multiple emotions. If it's not good, then all of a sudden it's bad. And I didn't know that some kids didn't know that. So, you know, going to a counselor that can explain, hey, this is what disappointed feels like. This is what frustrated feels like. This is what anger feels like. Yeah. And giving them the tools that they need to properly navigate their emotions in their life. And so I would definitely just say, reach out, get help, make some sort of move, whether, I mean, even if it's just texting a friend and saying, I need help. And you might not know what to do next, but at least you're not sitting in your own spiral of, you know, negativity and self-loathing and things like that. You're taking the steps to get out, and that's, it's for you definitely, but it's also for everyone around you. So like, I wasn't willing to make changes when it was just for me, which sounds terrible, but
no, I think that's really normal.
Yeah. When it was for my kids, and like, I want to be able to do this with my kids. I want to be able to have a healthy marriage. I want to be able to get up with a smile on my face every day, you know?
Yeah.
Then it was, I was able to make those changes.
Yes. I love it. Karen, will you tell me one more thing?
Absolutely.
What can you not stop talking about right now?
Oh my gosh. I don't. Okay. So Audible for one.
Okay.
I love stories and I love books, but I do not love reading. I'm like a really slow reader.
Okay.
And so Audible has been like my lifeline. I have listened to probably 30 to 40 books this year.
Wow.
Just in like literally taking kids to soccer, or actually my kids don't play soccer. Like
football, you just whatever. Made that up.
Okay. I just like insert that like stereotype.
In my yoga pants.
Yes.
So funny.
All the stuff. And it's been so good to just, rather than just, you know, music or, you know, sometimes silence is great, but I have just loved the perspectives and the learning that I've gotten from Amazon, not Amazon.
You're Audible. Just saying a couple of words.
Also love Amazon.
Okay, great. so funny. What else?
Terrible. I heard it in Brené Brown's book that she like got into Gossip Girl, you know, on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I basically binge watched Gossip Girl. And now that I know who it is at the end, I'm starting over.
Okay. I've never seen it, so I don't know anything. But it's really good.
It's, you know, I am not into scary things. I can't do scary things. So a lot of people are into like Pretty Little Liars, where it's too dark for me. Like, I don't know if it's scary or not, but it seems scary.
Okay.
And I just like things that are very, you know, high school drama-y that aren't going to make me scared.
Right. No, I agree.
I feel like it's really well written because there's always something happening that you never expect. So it has that kind of like, what's going to happen next type thing, but in a girly,
in a lighthearted high school way. Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Exactly. Well, Karen, seriously been a pleasure talking to you. I almost said talking about you. I've been talking about you and it's been great. So funny.
You can do that too.
Oh man. Thank you for sharing all of those things that are pretty personal. I appreciate it. I think it'll help a lot of women.
Well, I hope it does. That's the whole goal, I guess.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you, Emily.
Okay.
Bye.
Wasn't that great? Whew, she went through quite a bit there. I'm really thankful that she shared it with us today. So we didn't really talk about it, but Karen started a community of women who build up and encourage and support one another, and they are entrepreneurs. And so you can find out more about that if you have a small business at pursuitcommunity.com. They do retreats. They're going to Tampa in February. I'm super jealous about that. But they also have local meetups. So if you're looking for women who are interested in small businesses or artistic pursuits, then look at pursuitcommunity.com. She also has something called a Gold Star Collective, which I really love. It is a comprehensive directory of Christian women entrepreneurs. So it's arranged by topic, but it's also arranged by location. So if for some reason you really need someone who cooks really well in Nevada, or you need a photographer in Idaho, I mean, you can go there, find it, and it's just a great network. And also, I love it because if you happen to be a small business woman, you can apply to be in the Gold Star Collective so people can find you that way. So you can find out more about that at pursuitcommunity.com as well. So what will your strategy be to struggle well based on what Karen said today? Maybe you had no idea how much you wish you were a logger. It does sound kind of fun to fall into a swamp. It also sounds kind of dangerous and terrifying, but maybe that's your jam and you pursue an online logging course, perhaps. I can't imagine that would be very useful to learn about it online, but let me know how that goes. Maybe you are interested in something like The Adventures with Archer, the book. My daughter really loves it. She uses it all the time. I'll put a link to where you could find that in the show notes. If that's something you want to kind of develop, you know, times with God with your kiddos, it's a good way to do it. It's kind of part coloring book, part fill in some blank things. Maybe you're still feeling some hurt or pain from a bad church experience. Maybe it's even turning into bitterness as time goes on. I would encourage you this week, maybe your strategy to struggle well could be to ask God, first of all, be honest and be like, that really hurt. Those people were not nice. And he knows he was there. And ask him what's next. We just read in Psalm 1 today in church about, I'm going to read you the first couple verses. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on that law day and night. I thought it was interesting when the pastor said, blessed is the man who doesn't walk, stand, and then sit. There's a progression of like arriving, hanging out, and then really relaxing with people who, this says, the counsel of the wicked. Our friends make a difference. We know that when we see our kids getting involved with the wrong crowd, we think, oh, that might not be good. I don't like maybe their attitude or the way they do certain things. That doesn't sound like it's going to be healthy for our kids. But for some reason, we don't always apply those same things to us. Why do we think we're different? You know, we think our kids need to eat carrots, but we can have ice cream all the time. We slowly get comfortable with what we're doing. And sometimes what we're doing is either isolating or just not being around people who can push us towards what's true. And so, but it does say that you're blessed if you meditate on God's law, which we find that is God's word, the Bible. And he is very clear in the Bible that we need to be in community. So I feel like I talk about this all the time, but I can tell you that my life is supremely better and richer for having community. So if you tried that, I tried the church thing. It was a disaster. I get it. It's not always a good fit all the time, but just I would encourage you to pray about where to go because God will answer because he is listening. He does hear you and he really, really wants to get you hooked up in the right place with the right people. Maybe you identified with what Karen was talking about with being in chronic pain and that you've just kind of stopped doing anything to get you headed in the right direction and you liked her idea about just being proactive and healing and making one action step. Whatever that one step is. So I would encourage you to do that if you're in that place. So it's kind of a time of year we all like to do it. Nothing magical about this time of year, but we like to do it. So you might as well go for it. See what you can do that will benefit you because it will ultimately benefit everyone in your family as well. Well, ladies, it's been an absolute pleasure. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Look forward to connecting with you on Instagram at @momstrugglingwell. Go ahead and email me or send me a message. Any questions you have. Rebecca and I are getting ready to record our problem solved this week pretty soon. We just got to figure out what problem we're solving. We don't exactly know yet. But shoot me any questions or problems that you have and we will get right on it. You can email me at hello@momstrugglingwell.com or again, find me on Instagram. I'm praying for you ladies. I'm thankful for you. I'm so glad to be in connection with you and having conversations. I hope you have a great week of struggling well.